It's the Kim Munson Show, analyzing the most important stories.
And when government gets bigger, the individual gets smaller.
The latest in politics and world affairs.
For thee, but not for me. And I agree that we got to change that.
Today's current opinions and ideas.
If, in fact, you are working for the man, it's a new form of slavery.
Is it freedom or is it force? Let's have a conversation.
Indeed, let's have a conversation, and welcome to the Kim Munson Show. Thank you so much for joining us. You're each treasured, you're valued, you have purpose. Today, strive for excellence, take care of your heart, your soul, your mind, and your body. My friends, we were made for this moment. And thank you to the team. That's producer Joe, producer Luke, Zach, Echo, Charlie, all the people here at Crawford Broadcasting. Happy Wednesday, producer Joe.
Happy Wednesday, Kim.
And another great show planned for you, so fasten your seatbelt. Thank you to the Harris family for their sponsorship of the show. And it is Wednesday, so that means it's Wings Day at Hooters Restaurants. You buy 20 wings, you get an additional 10 for free, and that is for to-go or for to-dine-in. I particularly like their smoked wings. They're half the calories. And I, when the girls come over, I normally get half lemon pepper rub and half Texas barbecue rub. And they're the place for wings, that's for sure. And so that's for to-go or to-dine-in. They have five locations. That's Loveland, Aurora, Lone Tree, Westminster, and Colorado Springs. And how they became partners of the show, it's a very, very important story about freedom, free markets, and capitalism, and you can find that at my website. So again, it is Wednesday. We've got a lot going on for you today. There's a lot happening out there as well. But let's get to, first of all, our word of the day, and it is ineffable, ineffable. I practiced that, Joe, ineffable, ineffable.
I heard you practice it and everything.
I was practicing, so it's ineffable, ineffable. I said it. Anyway, where I found it, yesterday we did a recording with Dr. Douglas Grotius. He has a new book out regarding comparative religions in seven sentences. And we decided to do a whole show, and we recorded it. We'll broadcast that this Friday in the second hour. But that's where I got the word. So ineffable, ineffable. There you go. And I have to spell it. It's I-N-E-F-F-A-B-L-E, ineffable. And that's I-N-E-F-F-A-B-L-E. And it's in, number one, it's incapable of being expressed. I guess I'm having trouble with the pronunciation. Indescribable or unutterable. Number two, not to be uttered, taboo. Number three, incapable of being expressed in words, unspeakable, unutterable, indescribable. So, this is the sentence I came up with. The unconstitutional, ineffable hubris of the Biden administration to control us through the economy, through rules, regulations, and executive orders, will end in less freedom, misery, and human suffering for the American people and for the people of the world. And so, if they keep this up, we're headed into some very... very troubling times, and that is why we need to shed light on what is happening there. So again, your and my challenge today is to use the word ineffable, ineffable. I'm missing that third segment. Ineffable, ineffable. Darn it. Okay, I'm going to try to do better. I apologize to all of you out there. I thought I had that down, but it's I-N-E-F-F-A-B-L-E, and I'm going to practice that all day. Our next thing, our quote of the day, is from Arthur Laffer. And I chose Arthur Laffer because he is a co-author with Dr. Brian Dmitrovic, who is going to be our featured guest in this first hour. And Arthur Laffer was born in 1940. He's an American economist and author who first gained prominence during the Reagan administration as a member of Reagan's Economic Policy Advisory Board. Laffer is best known for the Laffer Curve, which is an illustration of the theory that there exists some tax rate between 0 and 100% that will result in maximum tax revenue for government. And this is what Laffer said. He said, it is not true that Congress spends money like a drunken sailor. Drunken sailors spend their own money. Congress spends our money. So there you have it. Okay, news headlines for the day. Tonight is the second presidential debate. I am going to miss that. I am speaking at the Republican meetup of Bruce and Susan Beckman this evening. So I'm excited about that. But the presidential debate, I'm sure we'll have a lot of sound bites regarding that throughout the evening. Three different headlines I did want to just mention. First one, and I had this on the outline, but Chicago is just such high crime. And because of that, Walmart, Whole Foods have exited some areas of Chicago, leaving what they call food deserts. And so the Chicago mayor, who's never run a business before in his life, is proposing that the city create city-owned grocery stores. Like, they don't think those are going to get robbed either. But so the issue is not that there's food deserts. The issue is that the crime is so extensive. These sanctuary cities where we have had people pouring across our border, going to these sanctuary cities, they weren't really serious about them being sanctuary cities, as we're seeing with New York and some of these other cities. But it has there's just such high crime, also because I would say our educational system is teaching many young kids that they're victims. And when they think that they're victims, then they think they have a right to steal stuff from other people. So anyway, what has happened in Chicago is that now the government-run grocery stores, how's that going to end up? But it's going to be interesting to watch. But Chicago Mayor Brandon Johnson says he wants to open city-owned grocery stores to serve neighborhoods that have become food deserts after Walmart stores and Whole Foods have closed. And how about he addresses the real cause, which is crime? So then that takes us over to two other headlines. The first one is Philadelphia. And this just happened, I think that was last night. It was just last night. Philadelphia police responded to popular retails like the Apple Store, Lululemon, and Foot Locker after they were allegedly being ravaged by swarms of looters taking over the city of Brotherly Love Tuesday evening. At about 8 p.m. Tuesday, police responded to reports of large crowds of juveniles allegedly looting stores in the Center City Business Corridor. Says in a proactive measure, officers from the 9th District stopped a group of males dressed in black attire and wearing masks at the intersection of 17th and Chestnut Streets, police spokesman said to Fox News Digital. And as of midnight on Wednesday, police confirmed between 15 to 20 people were arrested during the looting and at least two firearms were recovered. So then let's go to the next one. And that is, again, this is from, let me get the headline on this. This is also from Fox Business. It says more than 200 businesses reportedly are going on strike in Oakland, California, in protest of rampant violent crime that they say is driving customers away from their establishments. And if not, there will be more businesses that close. So we may sacrifice maybe one day. People may close the entire day, maybe 2 hours. But that is a time when we have to say enough is enough. Carl Chan, president of the Oakland Chinatown Chamber of Commerce, who helped organize the strike, told Fox 2 KTVU. Says the strike involves some businesses closing for the entire day and others who cannot afford to just shut their doors for a little bit. So what ultimately then happens, these cities, they're always looking at sales tax revenue, and that's one of the ways that they fund all of this increasing government. So closing their doors will affect the revenue of the cities, which I hopefully will start to get their attention. But do you not see this trend across our country of this crime, and everyday people can't keep their businesses going because of people that are stealing? And that is because we've gotten away from these foundational human virtues. And where can you find many of those virtues, many of those commandments? It might be in the Ten Commandments. If we follow the Ten Commandments, one of the biggest ones is thou shalt not steal. And that could be stuff, but it could also be people's opportunity. And so with all this crime, it's stealing people's opportunity. And so we see this trend. And of course, the other thing is these cities are all being run by radical activist Democrats, just like Denver and Boulder, Colorado, and many of our Front Range cities. So, okay, let's get to our This Day in History. 1066, William the Conqueror's troops set sail from Normandy to conquer England. 1694, hurricane hits Carlisle Bay, Barbados. 27 British ships sink and 3,000 die. So 1694, a significant weather event back then. 1779, John Adams is appointed to negotiate the Revolutionary War peace terms with Great Britain. 1825, George Stephenson's locomotion number one becomes the first steam locomotive to carry passengers on a public rail line, the Stockton and Darlington Railway in England. 1864, the Centralia Massacre. Pro-Confederate guerrillas led by William T. Anderson and Jesse James loot Centralia and attack a train on the North Missouri Railroad, executing 24 Union soldiers. Later the same day, the guerrillas defeat the newly formed 39th Missouri Infantry Regiment, killing 123 of its 147 soldiers. I mean, that's a pretty big deal during the Civil War. 1905, the physics journal Annalen der Physik publishes Albert Einstein's paper, Does the Inertia of a Body Depend Upon Its Energy Content?, introducing the equation E equals mc squared. 1908, Henry Ford's first Model T automobile leaves the Piquette plant in Detroit, Michigan. 1909, U.S. President William Howard Taft sets aside 3 million acres of oil-rich public land, including Teapot Dome, Wyoming, for conservation purposes. 1939, Warsaw, Poland, surrenders to Germans after 19 days of resistance. 1940, Nazi Germany, Italy, and Japan sign a 10-year formal alliance, the Axis. And then another weather event in 1953, a typhoon destroys one-third of Nagoya, Japan. So those are some of the things that happened this day in history. And I'm going to need to go to work on some of these other historical moments, because what I'm seeing, I'm getting this from On This Day, it's a website, but I don't see much about the Korean War or the Vietnam War or any of our later wars and conflicts, which I think that's important that we learn about those as well. And so I'll have to work on that. But I think this is super interesting. And many of you said that you really like this day in history. And I know many of you like it. If I could figure out how to actually make sure that I can actually pronounce the word of the day. So I'm going to keep working on that. We do the show because of wonderful sponsors. And one of those is the Roger Mangan State Farm Insurance Team. And they understand that there are unknowns that can keep you up at night. And that is why Roger Mangan can also help with life insurance and health insurance needs to replace lost income. Call Roger Mangan at 303-795-8855 for a complimentary appointment. Like a good neighbor, Roger Mangan's insurance team is there.
Most of us have been there. That surprise crunch when you backed into a car in a parking lot or someone rear-ended you at a stoplight. First thing you do is stop and breathe. Second, say a prayer of gratitude that no one was hurt. Third, look for your insurance card. And fourth, be grateful that you have your insurance with Roger Mangan State Farm Insurance Agency. You can breathe easier knowing that you can reach the Roger Mangan team 24/7 when you need them. For that Roger Mangan State Farm Insurance peace of mind, call Roger Mangan today at 303-795-8855. That's 303-795-8855.
Johnny Stubbs Services uses only the best quality products to ensure that your heating and cooling systems run efficiently and last for years. Johnny Stubbs Services' team of experts is available to provide the proper guidance and help you make informed decisions about your heating and cooling needs. Johnny Stubbs Services prides themselves on delivering prompt and reliable service and stands behind their work with a satisfaction guarantee. JohnnyStubbServices.com, the trusted contractor for all your heating and air conditioning needs. That's JohnnyStubbServices.com.
Focused and wise marketing is essential for your success, especially during tough economic times. If you love the Kim Munson Show, strive for excellence and understand the importance of engaging in the battle of ideas that is raging in America. Then talk with Kim about partnership, sponsorship opportunities. Email Kim at kimmunson.com. Kim focuses on creating relationships with individuals and businesses that are tops in their fields. So they are the trusted experts listeners turn to when looking for products or services. Kim personally endorses each of her sponsors. Again, reach out to Kim at kimmunson.com.
And welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. Be sure and check out our website. That is Kim Munson, M-O-N-S-O-N.com. Sign up for our weekly email newsletter, and you can email me at kim@kimmunson.com as well. Thank you to all of you who support us. We're an independent voice. We search for truth and clarity by looking at these issues through the lens of freedom versus force, force versus freedom. If something's a good idea, you should not have to force people to do it. And again, wanted to say thank you to the Harris family for their gold sponsorship of the show. They've been partners of the show for quite some time and greatly appreciate them. And also wanted to mention the Center for American Values. As we look at what is happening in our country, it's important that we understand these values that our country was really built on, and that is honor, integrity, and patriotism. And so the Center for American Values, it's located in Pueblo, Colorado. Pueblo is known as the home of heroes because there are four Medal of Honor recipients they call Pueblo home. And the center was founded by Drew Dix, Medal of Honor recipient, and Brad Padula, who is an Emmy Award-winning documentary producer, film producer. And they realized that two things. They want to honor our Medal of Honor recipients, so they have these beautiful portraits of valor with portraits of Medal of Honor recipients and these quotes that they actually have put into a book. Great gift for Christmas, just a note. But then also, they are creating educational programs. And they just recently rolled out one. It's an online program, K-12. It's a civics course. And so this is a great tool for parents and grandparents to help teach their children. And so you can get more information by going to AmericanValueCenter.org. That's AmericanValueCenter.org. They are a non-political, organization. And so that's important to know. They are just focusing on honor, integrity, and patriotism. So again, that's AmericanValueCenter.org. Our government, of the people, by the people, and for the people. It's a representative form of government. And I really think that many people have been so busy with their jobs and their lives and their families and all that they're doing that we haven't been paying attention to what's been happening in some of these local governments. And so I am seeing everyday people step forward and running for office, which is how it's supposed to be. And on the line with us is a candidate for Longmont City Council, and that is Steve Altshuler. Steve, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Kim. Nice to talk to you.
Well, first question, you are running for Longmont City Council. Why?
Oh, in 25 words or less?
Yes.
Basically, I consider myself a constitutionalist and a free market capitalist. And what I see the council doing is a lot more socialism. They want to take from the people that are working and give the people who don't want to work so much. And they don't run the council as managing the city. They run the council as running the city. There have been several cases recently where they've bought some land, and then they changed the zoning of that land, and now they want to build like 100-unit, three-story apartment buildings right in the backyards of houses. And their pet project is building another 2,700 low-income units. And I don't think we need that. I think that's a waste of taxpayer money. The reason I feel that way, and I don't want to go on and on, but the reason I feel that way, there's no time limit to people that qualify for the subsidized or low-income housing. They can live there for the next 50 years. So the only requirement is that your income be below a certain threshold level, and then the city helps pay for your rent. but they don't have anything to encourage people to increase their income to get out of that subsidized housing. What I would like to see is maybe a two-year program where we help them for 2 years, but they have to take classes at Front Range, at Front Range College to further help themselves or take or work with a local business in the mentoring programs.
Boy, Steve, you brought up a really important issue. And that is, first of all, should government be in the business of buying up land and rezoning it and then doing subsidized housing? Because I see everyday hardworking people that are getting squeezed because of taxes, and now being more money is taken from them via taxes and fees to subsidize somebody else's rent. And this is not going to end well if we continue down this road. And the other thing that I've learned with a lot of this subsidized housing is that if the city is doing it, they're not collecting any property taxes. And these people are using goods and services that are like police or fire or schools, and they're not contributing to that as well. So this will not end well from what I can see, Steve.
I agree. And the other thing that I've seen that I like to think that I can bring to the table, no one on city council right now has ever been in their own business, as far as I know. Several of them are school teachers. At least one of them works for a nonprofit. So whenever they need more money, they turn to the person next to them and say, sign here and give me the money to buy X, Y, and Z. I've been in my own business for 35 years. I spent 35 years working over 60 hours a week. And if you want something, you have to make more sales. And then you have to buy more inventory. And then you have to sell that product. And it goes round and round. They don't understand that concept. What they want to do is just enable people to keep living their life the way they have and not help them get to be a more productive citizen.
Well, and the other thing that you mentioned, and when I was on City Council of Lone Tree, I went over and looked at one of the subsidized apartment complexes, and this was back 2012 to 2016. And of course, now we see all of this subsidized housing. And once again, it's government housing, government subsidized housing. But and I think you hit an important point. It takes away the incentives to do better. Because, two things. It can take away the incentives to do better, or, as you mentioned, people may qualify to get into the subsidized housing, and then after that, they may start to make more money above that benchmark, but they continue to receive subsidized housing by all the other people that are out there working hard, which is really unfair. So that these different projects can be structured a little differently. But ultimately, I think it can take away the incentive to do better. And then also it could be very unfair because it will be taking from one person to subsidize somebody else's lifestyle. So I think this is a really important issue for people to understand, Steve.
It absolutely takes away the majority of people's incentive to pull themselves up and make more out of their own lives when they're being subsidized by the government. I also think that government probably shouldn't even be in housing. That's part of the free market background that I come from. If you want something, you work hard for it and you make it happen. You don't wait for someone just to give it to you. Excuse me. If we're going to have subsidized housing, the first people that I would like to help would be the veterans and then disabled people that can't help themselves. But just to give people low-income housing for the next 50 years is rather ridiculous. The other thing is there's one person on the board, on the city council right now, and he has on his website that he would like to give every homeless person a free home. And that obviously does not incentivize anyone to make more of their own life.
No, not at all. Okay, Steve, tell us about the election. So how many people how many members are on the city council? How many seats are up for election? And does everybody in the city vote for everybody, or how does this work?
Here's something I'm actually very excited about. There are 7 seats on the city council. 4 of them are up for election. counting myself, there are at least three other conservatives that are running for city council. So it would be a stretch. It would be a miracle of miracles. But if we could possibly get four conservative people on the city council, we could change the way everything is being done in Longmont. And just to give you a little Reader's Digest version here, Longmont's budget for 2024 is $444 million. That works out to $16,000 per taxpayer. And if you add in the special bond issues that they're trying to pass, you're up to almost $20,000 per taxpayer per year. That's what people are being taxed. And then the city council says rents are too high and mortgages are too high. But if they wouldn't keep spending money outrageously, we could bring that, we could let everyone have more income to pay those rents and mortgages.
Okay, so you, I'm looking at this. Let's say you have a couple that, again, a young family trying to make things, you know, make ends meet. And if they're currently paying $16,000 per person for just city government, that's not all the other stuff. I mean, that's $32,000 that if people had that money, that's serious money that they could have. So, and when I first moved to Colorado, I have a special affinity for Longmont. I lived in Longmont for a couple of years. And so I have I've always really loved Longmont, but I've seen from a city government standpoint that it has gone, as you mentioned, continued to move towards socialism. So first of all, give us the names if of the other conservatives running for city council in Longmont.
Besides myself, there is Diane Crist, Gary Hodges, and Terry Goon is actually running for mayor.
Okay.
And I'm running for at-large.
So how does this work then as far as does everybody, and your name is Steve Altshuler, so I want to make sure people get that.
Yeah.
So how does this in the city vote for everybody, or how does it work?
So both the mayor position and my at-large position are voted for by the entire city. Gary Hodges is running in Ward 3, and Diane Crist is running in Ward 1. So just, you know, the boundaries of what makes up Ward 1, the people that live in that area vote for that person. And, of course, you know, there's people on city council right now that are in that ward also. But now we have people that are running against those people. So it's just a runoff election.
What is the approximate population of Longmont these days?
Longmont's about 110,000 people.
110,000. And they want to build an additional 2,700 low-income units?
They have 2,700 low-income units already, and they want to build it up to 5,400.
Wow.
But
boy,
if we're subsidizing 5,400 people's rent, that's money every year, year in and year out. And like you said, they're not even paying property taxes.
Goodness. Well, this is pretty amazing that the four of you are stepping forward to run. And again, I want to make a point. Any candidate that is running for any office, I will give them some time on the show. So I want to make sure that people know that. So, okay, Steve, how can people, well, any final thoughts and how can people get more information about you?
I'll just give you the information part because my final thoughts would go for another 20 minutes.
Okay.
you can reach me at www.steve4longmont.com. That's my website. And obviously, all of us that are running, we are not supported by big companies. We are pretty much all self-funded. So if anybody would like to donate, there are Zelle buttons on the webpage. And if anybody would like to volunteer, you can leave a message on the webpage for that also. And
okay,
all help is appreciated.
Okay, well, thank you very much. It's great to have you on the show. That's Steve Altshuler. He is running for Longmont City Council and said that there's other conservatives that are running as well. Diane Crist in Ward 1, Gary Hodges in Ward 3, and Terry Goon for mayor. And thank you so much, Steve, for stepping forward. Greatly appreciate it.
My pleasure. Thank you, Kim.
Wow. We've got a lot of candidates that are reaching out. And again, I will work to get everyone on the show, no matter Democrat, unaffiliated, Republican, because I think it's important that you get to know them and know what's going on with these different elections. The show comes to you because of sponsors, and these people are dedicated to, first of all, the message, but also they are dedicated to excellence in their fields. One of those is Karen Levine, RE/MAX Realtor.
Award-winning realtor Karen Levine has nearly 30 years of experience with RE/MAX Alliance. Karen Levine works to protect your property rights at the local, county, state, and national level. Karen Levine believes in home ownership. Working with realtor Karen Levine helps you navigate through the process of buying or selling your home. Call Karen Levine to help you buy or sell your home because she understands that it's more than just a house. Call award-winning realtor Karen Levine with RE/MAX Alliance today at 303-877-7516. That's 303-877-7516.
A recent report notes that the number of children diagnosed with autism spectrum disorder is consistently and dramatically increasing. This is heartbreaking. If your child or grandchild or someone you know has been diagnosed with autism or ADHD following exposure to Tylenol or acetaminophen during pregnancy, call Boson Law at 303-999-9999. Boson Law is a Colorado-based law firm who has been fighting Big Pharma for over 20 years. Call now at 303-999-9999 for a free, no-obligation review of your potential claim. Call now at 303-999-9999.
Our future depends on educated, informed, and active citizens. You could do your part by reading Dr. James Lyons Weiler's latest articles at Popular Rationalism on Substack. That's popularrationalism.substack.com.
All of Kim's sponsors are an inclusive partnership with Kim and are not affiliated with or in partnership with KLZ or Crawford Broadcasting. If you would like to support the work of the Kim Munson Show and grow your business, contact Kim at her website, kimmunson.com. That's Kim Munson, MONSON.com.
And welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. Be sure and check out our website. That is Kim Munson, MONSON.com. Sign up for a weekly email newsletter, and you can email me at kim@kimmunson.com as well. Thank you to all of you who support us. We're an independent voice, and we search for truth and clarity by looking at these issues through the lens of freedom versus force, force versus freedom. If something's a good idea, you should not have to force people to do it. And tomorrow night is the big night. It is the Colorado screening premiere of A Climate Conversation, which is a documentary that I have the great honor to moderate. We still have a few tickets left, but it is going to be a great evening. You will meet some new people, see some old friends. We're going to screen the movie. All the scientists that are in the film are flying in from all over North America for a panel discussion, and there's going to be food and drink. And you can buy some tickets. Go to my website, kimmunson.com. Again, we have just a few left, and all the links are there. On the line with me is Dr. Brian Dimitrovic. He is an economic historian, and he has a new book out, or a recent book out. It's called Taxes Have Consequences, An Income Tax History of the United States. And it's co-authored by Arthur Laffer and Jeannie Karn Sinkfield. Dr. Dimitrovic, welcome to the show.
Good morning, Kim. It's nice to be with you.
Great to be with you. And in the previous segment, we had on a candidate who's running for Longmont City Council. And we talk about income taxes a lot, but he said the budget for this little town of 110,000 people is $440 million. I think that we forget it's not just income taxes. I mean, I feel that the American people are getting taxed every which way. What's your thoughts on that?
Wow, $440 million for a little town like that?
Yeah.
That has to be cut drastically. Of course, I mean, the property tax is actually the worst tax. I mean, it is the tax we know in history that when you cut it, the population gets behind you like for no other tax cut. And furthermore, when you resist cutting it, the population turns on you like it never does for any kind of tax issue. So after 1978, when California passed its Prop 13, lowering property taxes permanently by 60%, rates that is, everyone who opposed it just got eliminated by the electorate. So it's the most powerful beast there is out there.
Okay, that brings up a point. I don't know if you're watching Colorado much, but we had something that was put guardrails around property taxes as well. It was called the Gallagher Amendment. And the way the Gallagher Amendment and Tabor, Colorado's Taxpayers Bill of Rights, bumped up against each other, it was keeping residential property taxes in line. It was actually putting more of the burden over on businesses. So this was sold to the people of Colorado, I think it was in 2019, by both sides of the aisle to get rid of Gallagher. I actually, in my voter's guide, recommended a no because I felt that, as I looked at it, that residential property taxes could increase significantly. Well, they are now, Brian, because those guardrails were taken off and because residential property assessed valuations have gone up significantly. People are facing anywhere from 40 to 50 to 60% increase in their property taxes. So now the Colorado legislature and Governor Polis have referred a measure to the ballot called Prop HH, which ultimately would give a little bit of property tax relief for a little bit of time in exchange for taking Coloradans' property or Tabor refunds into perpetuity. And so I'm recommending a no vote on Prop HH, but people are scared to death about this increase in property taxes, Brian.
Yes, Kim, I have followed Colorado a bit. We here at the Laffer Center, we do some work on these issues, in particular property tax reform. A great kind of under-discussed topic in American political economy right now, along with this housing boom. I mean, what, the Case-Shiller Index across the country has gone up like 35% or something like that since 2020. Well, that means that nominal property tax rates are going up by 35%. And that's, of course, a complete non-starter. I mean, Proposition 13 in California limits a 2% per annum increase in property taxes for any particular owner. So that's absurd if you have a huge property tax increase. Same thing's happening in Indiana, which is not a well-off state. They're seeing their nominal property taxes, on, you know, widows and orphans go up 20%. That's a complete outrage. And what I'm saying is if you don't cap that, let's say you have a cap proposal and people vote against it, those people will be annihilated. The thing about Tabor is Tabor's great. I mean, you get your money back. But the problem is it's on past behavior. You get your money back on the previous tax rates. It's not a tax rate cut in the future. With HH, you just might have a permanent tax rate cut for the future. And that is encouraging of production and ownership and opportunity in the upcoming years, whereas a rebate on past activity isn't necessarily. So what Colorado has to do is they have to cap their property taxes like Colorado and Massachusetts have. They have to really get serious about cutting tax rates so that they get to zero, and then they'll become the crown jewel of the United States.
So the other thing, and I love cutting capping property taxes. Well, I actually think we really need to have property tax simplification and property tax reform here in Colorado. Now, I know that's a big order, but I think that we need to start to simplify these things. And school finance has gotten so complicated as well out here. And then reducing the tax rate makes a lot of sense. But the other sticky wicket that I see, Brian, is that if, in fact, we reduce tax rates, that's great. But over here on the other side, we have government with all these fees that it's like death by a thousand cuts, a fee here, a fee there, a fee here. And so I'm concerned about that. How would you address that?
Well, yeah, I mean, that's a classic home rule issue, you know, that municipalities are prevented from taxation by state law, and so then they just go taxation by another name. Now, that's when you have to simply withdraw home rule from municipalities at the state level. You just have to say, look, anything that's masquerading as a tax is a tax, and if we say you can't do it, you can't do it. So that's a fight that has to be done at the legislature, and the state legislatures have to get serious about limiting municipal powers to tax. And that's what a property tax cap would be, and it can't come in under any other name. I should point out one more thing. it's not just that charter schools have taken off across the country. All sorts of privatization of education is taking place organically. People are forming neighborhood schools like there's never before since COVID. And so the actual demand on public schools is falling like a stone. So we should see public expenditures on public schools falling like a stone, or at least not increasing, because there's actually a real increase in per-student public school spending, if spending does not change at all because so many people are withdrawing from the public schools for better private alternatives, organic private alternatives. That's the reality we live in. We live in a beautiful time to cut tax rates right now, so we should take advantage of it.
Okay, so that brings up something happening in my community, and that is the school district is asking for a mill levy override as well as new debt. And myself and another colleague, George Allen, are opposing this tax increase at this time. It's a property tax increase because we are seeing this in my particular community, probably an increase in property taxes anywhere from 35% to 40% to 42%. And Brian, I'm concerned that at some point people are going to start to be taxed out of their homes. And one of my colleagues said, now, Kim, I'm not sure it would get to that point, but yet I've talked to the county assessor, and he said that every day, almost every day, he has seniors that come in to the office, and they're concerned about their property taxes. So I'm very concerned about that. But in the research that we've done, we've seen that the Douglas County School District has actually been losing students, and their projections are that enrollment is going to continue to go down. So my recommendation is that now is not the time for a new tax increase and to pay teachers more. I think that, you know, take a look at the budget priorities. So that's where I'm at on that particular. I just wanted to put that in there. Any comments on that, Brian?
Well, you're worried that people are not going to be able to pay their taxes and lose their homes for very good reason, because if they increase millage rates, then people will not be able to pay their taxes and they will lose their homes. I mean, this is exactly what happens in all the places that cap their property taxes. Prop 13 didn't happen in California for no reason. I mean, seniors by the hundreds of thousands were lining up by 1978 saying we're going to lose our homes. I mean, this is the great inflation of the 1970s. Nominal prices of homes went up 300%. So the idea that you have a millage increase in an era in which home prices have gone up 35% in 4 years, well, that's very backwards. I mean, it's actually kind of a kill shot. I mean, it's the kind of thing you can do to absolutely ruin your community. I mean, you have a little community in the United States that's, you know, a country of 330 million people. People just pick up and leave if you do that kind of stuff. If you have falling school enrollment, which, of course, we do have, public school enrollment, I mean, there's this huge explosion in private school innovation right now, and you have a nominal increase in home prices, the justification for a millage increase is simply not to be found anywhere. I mean, you can have a searchlight looking for the justification for a millage increase. You cannot find it anywhere. So if a government does that, that community is to be shunned.
Wow. Strong words, Dr. Brian Dimitrovic. I wasn't planning on going down this aisle on this conversation, but it's super important. And he has written a book. He's a co-author of this book, Taxes Have Consequences, An Income Tax History of the United States. And he's written that with Arthur Laffer, as well as Jeannie Karn-Sinkfield. And we're going to continue the conversation. We get to do this because of sponsors like Lauren Levy.
If you are 62 or older, a reverse mortgage could be a great tool regarding retirement and estate planning. It is essential to understand the process. Lauren Levy with Polygon Financial Group has nearly 20 years in the mortgage industry and has the experience to answer your questions. Lauren understands that each financial transaction is personal. If you'd like to explore your options on a reverse mortgage, remodel your home, buy a rental property, or move, call Lauren Levy at 303-880-8881. Licensed in 49 states, Kim Monson highly recommends Lauren Levy for all your mortgage needs. Call Lauren at 303-880-8881.
You'd like to get in touch with one of the sponsors of The Kim Monson Show, but you can't remember their phone contact or website information. Find a full list of advertising partners on Kim's website, kimmonson.com. That's Kim, MONSON.com.
Franktown Firearms and Shooting Range keep their firearm and ammunition inventory up so you can get the lowest price at the best tax rate. Across the nation, inventory is down and sales are at record levels, leading consumers to pay higher prices at other businesses. Franktown brings in new items every week, which translates to lower pricing on your purchase. There are millions of first-time gun owners purchasing each year, showing that the demand is growing, and prices are rising to meet that demand. Whether you're looking for a self-defense carry, hunting game, or using your firearms and ammunition for pest control, the folks at Franktown are fully stocked and ready to get you the right firearm at the right price. And this family-owned, family-operated gun store and range is proud to have the lowest tax rate possible, saving you even more. Find out more about Franktown Firearms at klzradio.com/Franktown today and fill out the form to get half off your initiation fee on membership. Franktown Firearms, where friends are made.
And welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. Be sure and check out our website. That is Kim Munson, MONSON.com. Sign up for our weekly email newsletter, and you can email me at kim@kimmunson.com as well. I have so many questions for Dr. Brian Dimitrovic. He is an economic historian. He's written a number of important books. The most recent one is Taxes Have Consequences, an Income Tax History of the United States. Brian, I have started to do a this day in history. And yesterday, in 1914, the Federal Trade Commission was formed to regulate interstate commerce. And so many progressive things were happening right around that time frame. The 16th Amendment was ratified in 1913, which that is the income tax amendment. And then the 17th Amendment, which was changing how senators are elected from the states. And I really think this really started to unbalance the balance of powers, but went from being voted on by the states to popular vote. And then the Federal Reserve came into being in 1913. And so with this income tax history and all that happening right then, address that. I mean, all this stuff came together right about that time, and it's about 100 years ago.
Yeah, it's funny. If they had waited like 8 months, 6 months on the Federal Reserve, they would have realized, hey, wait a minute, you know, World War One is happening. If they had waited a year on the income tax, hey, there's a great war in Europe. They wouldn't have no clue how to fund the U.S. government after August 1914 because the tariff carried the whole load. That would have been a beautiful thing if the United States did not pass the 16th Amendment and then 1914 rolls around. All tariff revenue dries up because of the shipping crisis, because of World War One, and the U.S. government would have had no revenue. You would have seen an economic boom in the United States, much different from the recession that we endured from 1913 to 1919, because the government wouldn't have had any revenue, and business would have just gone crazy, just making stuff, making stuff, making stuff. Yeah, the progressives right before World War One were so optimistic. We can figure out every problem in the world. If they had waited a few months, they would have seen the Great War and say, oh, here's what happens when governments get really ambitious. They do things like, you know, trench warfare. So that was really unfortunate, 1913, early 1914, that they didn't wait like 5 minutes to see what big governments really do.
But they had been working towards this for quite some time, yes, because a lot of the progressive policies were coming out of Germany in the mid-19th century, yes?
Kim, let's be clear why Europe wanted an income tax and ultimately why the United States wanted an income tax. I mean, the United States revenue system was based on the tariff, was based on foreigners bringing goods to the United States and paying taxes at the custom house before they unloaded. So literally the money was brought from foreign places to the United States. That's 65% of American tax revenue in 1912. So you cannot run a warfare state on that basis. You can't say, I'm going to go on big wars against everyone else based on foreign money being your tax base. You have to have a domestic tax base to fight wars, to be a belligerent in warfare. You have to have a domestic tax base. The reason there was a push for income taxes and central banking after 1870 was to prep states for major warfare, hegemonic warfare. And that's the reason the United States has an income tax, too. It's no accident the United States went on great military quests from 1914 to 1945 because they had a domestic tax base that could be a financial engine for that kind of hegemony. And the same thing in Europe, in Germany and all the rest.
Wow. Okay, I have another question then, and that's regarding Calvin Coolidge. This has been a while back. I just tried to do some research on government spending, and from what I could tell, Calvin Coolidge actually had reduced our debt, and that had been instrumental in the boom of the 20s. But then you come in and you have the Great Recession, or not the Depression. So address what was happening there, because again, I'm just a regular person that had tried to do some research on that.
Sure. Let me suggest to your readers, taxes have consequences. We go into this in luxurious detail. Calvin Coolidge is one of the very best presidents in American history. I think you'd really have to put him in the top three. I mean, the United States had the biggest debt ever, blew away the Civil War debt by fourfold in real terms in 1919 after World War I. The United States ran budget surpluses every year from 1920 to 1930. That's 11 straight years with the biggest debt service by far it had ever had. It rolled off 11 straight years of budget surpluses. During that time, mainly under Calvin Coolidge, the United States cut its tax rates radically, went from 73% all the way down to 24%. That whole time, they kept running surpluses, 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 surpluses as they cut the tax rates. That was Calvin Coolidge's genius. It's one of the greatest coups in American policy history. It was just epic. And the United States went into the Depression because, Mr., we could use a man like Calvin Coolidge again, and instead we got Herbert Hoover. Who raised taxes.
And so is that what caused the Great Depression?
Well, there were three gigantic tax increases at the outset of the Great Depression. There was the Smoot-Hawley Tariff, huge, biggest tariff in American history, June 1930. Herbert Hoover then raised Calvin Coolidge's tax rate from 25 to 63% January 1st, 1932. Like, raised the top tax rate by 150%. And then the property taxes, we're talking about property taxes, there was a deflation at this time, and that increased the real value of property taxes. State debt had increased by 60%. State expenditures increased by 60% in real terms in the 20s because municipal bond interest was exempt from the new income tax. Income tax had only started 15 years before. So states just blew money like crazy on debt in the 20s and then had to pay it back in the early 30s, and they raised property taxes. That's what caused the mortgage crisis. That's what caused the foreclosure and banking crisis. That's what caused the Great Depression. We lay the cause of the Great Depression in that book on three tax increases: the tariff of 1930, the income tax increase of 1932, and the gigantic increase in property taxes in 30, 31, 32.
Interesting. Very interesting. Just a quick note, Calvin Coolidge, I think, had a funny sense of humor. He's called Silent Cal, and there's the story that a socialite came up and said, I bet that I can get you to say more than two words. And he said, you lose. And that was it. That was it. So,
and America won, let me tell you.
Yeah. Gosh. Okay. Well, when I am looking, we've got about 3 minutes left, Brian. When I am looking at the taxes that people are paying, sales tax, property tax. Producer Steve, who's retired, he called in the other day and he'd just gotten his car registration, and there was a highway user tax and there was an old vehicle tax and this and how. I think it's time to have a real discussion about all these taxes and getting government back in its proper role. How would we address this? What should we do?
Well, we're talking about Bidenflation. You know, it's like that under Joe Biden, nominal prices are up, inflation's up 17%. Okay. Well, that means sales tax revenue automatically is up 17% because that's on nominal sales. So we've had a huge increase in sales tax. Property values are a hedge against inflation, so they've doubled the inflation rate. Nominal property tax rates go way up, too. The reason we have municipalities can do whatever they want, they used to be controlled by the states. The states said, you can't do that. That all changed in the late 19th century under Henry George's single tax movement, when the municipality said, we just want to have one tax, just a property tax, and you have to give us full power just to have the single tax. So the only reason states ceded the power to localities and school districts to say, okay, you can run your tax system, is so they could have just one tax, the single tax. And what did they do? They said, let's have 1,000 taxes. You have to take the power back from the localities. Look, if you're going to have that kind of fee structure, just all the stuff, you don't have the power. So, yeah, we have to have a big discussion about this. We need cuts in sales tax rates. We need property tax cuts. We need a reversal of home rule. We need elimination of the income tax. Man, we do that stuff, we're going to make the American dream, you know, get up on its feet.
Okay. And I have a new word for you, Dr. Brian Dimitrovic. We've been calling it called Bidenomics. But one of my colleagues said, I think we should change it because it's not Biden, that it's really the radical activist Democrat policies that are occurring right now. And they suggested we call it Demonomics. So what do you think about that?
Okay, Demonomics. Yeah, I like that. You know, the demos, the Greeks hated that. Yeah. So, okay, that's great. I love that idea. Demonomics.
Okay. Dr. Brian Dimitrovic, we are going to have you on once a month because I think it's important that people understand this. This book, Taxes Have Consequences, an Income Tax History of the United States, and it is co-written by Arthur Laffer and Jeannie Carnes-Sinkfield. Dr. Brian Dimitrovic, thank you so much.
Thanks, Kim. It's great to be with you.
And my friends, we really do need to defeat these higher and higher taxes so that people have more and more money in their own pockets instead of government having our money in government's pockets. It is our money. And Arthur Laffer's our quote for the end of the show. And he said this, he said, and you can't have a prosperous economy when the government is way overspending, raising tax rates, printing too much money, overregulating and restricting free trade. It just can't be done. So my friends, today, be grateful, read great books, think good thoughts, listen to beautiful music, communicate and listen well, live honestly and authentically, strive for high ideals, and like Superman, stand for truth, justice, and the American way. My friends, you are not alone. God bless you. God bless America. Stay tuned for hour number two.
Through the rain and lightning, wandering out into this great unknown. And I don't want no one to cry. But tell them if I don't survive.
The views and opinions expressed on KLZ 560 are those of the speaker, commentators, hosts, their guests, and callers. They are not necessarily the views and opinions of Crawford Broadcasting or KLZ Management, employees, associates, or advertisers. KLZ 560 is a Crawford Broadcasting God and Country station.
It's the Kim Munson Show, analyzing the most important stories.
And when government gets bigger, the individual gets smaller.
The latest in politics and world affairs.
For thee, but not for me. And I agree that we got to change that.
Today's current opinions and ideas.
If, in fact, you are working for the man, it's a new form of slavery.
Is it freedom or is it force? Let's have a conversation.
Indeed, let's have a conversation. Welcome to hour number two of the Kim Munson Show. Thank you so much for joining us. You're each treasured and valued. You have purpose today. Strive for excellence. Take care of your heart, your soul, your mind, and your body. My friends, we were made for this moment. Thank you to the team. That's producer Joe, producer Luke, Zach, Echo, Charlie, all the people here at Crawford Broadcasting. Nice new open for Wednesday, producer Joe.
Thank you, Kim.
And lots going on. It is Wednesday, obviously, and wanted to mention the USMC Memorial Foundation. My friends, as we see those that are trying to tear down our history in our country, it is so important to remember our history, to honor those that have given their lives or been willing to give their lives for us and our freedom. And that is why this is official Marine Memorial in Golden, Colorado. And Paula Sarles, who is the president of the Marine Foundation, as well as her team, Mary, everyone. They're working diligently on raising the money for this beautiful new remodel, and you can help them by going to usmcmemorialfoundation.org. And so be sure and help them out. Thank you to the Harris family for their gold sponsorship of the show. Greatly appreciate them. They've been sponsors of the show for a number of years and really do appreciate them for all that they do on that. Big day today. Tonight is the second Republican presidential debate. So that's going to be super interesting. And of course, Donald Trump is not going to be there. Apparently, he is going to be visiting some of the United Auto Workers sometime today. So that's super interesting as well. Okay, let's give it a whirl here. The word of the day, if you were not listening into the first hour, it would have was a challenge, even though I'd practiced this. And it is ineffable, ineffable, ineffable. Okay, how did I do, Joe? Because you've got it. How do you say
it? You got it. That second time around was right on the money.
Okay. And the definitions are, one, incapable of being expressed, indescribable, or unutterable. Number two, not to be uttered, taboo. Or number three, incapable of being expressed in words, unspeakable, unutterable, indescribable. And your challenge will be to use the word of the day in a sentence as you are talking with people. And again, that is ineffable. Ineffable. Okay, there we go. Our quote of the day, I went to Arthur Laffer because we had Dr. Brian Dmitrovic on. Dr. Dmitrovic is with the Laffer Institute. And this quote is from Arthur Laffer. He says, it is not true that Congress spends money like a drunken sailor. Drunken sailors spend their own money. Congress spends our money. And I think that's very apropos with all this discussion about shutting down the government if they don't spend more and more money. We need to start to have them stay within the proper role of government, within the proper guardrails. It's way out of control. And one of the first things to do is we've got to stop this government spending at the federal level, the state, the county, and the local level. I still can't believe Steve Altshuler, who is a candidate for Longmont City Council, that the budget just for the city, that's not including your county taxes or your school taxes or your special district taxes. The budget's $440 million for a town of 110,000. So, wow. So he said that there's four conservatives that are running: Steve Altshuler, Diane Crist, Gary Hodges, and Terry Goon in Longmont. So super interesting regarding that. So, let's see, a couple of other headlines that I mentioned in the first hour, and that is crime. One of the things that is important is that we have police forces that keep the peace. And we have seen that that is not occurring in a number of these cities that are being run by radical activist Democrats. Remarkable, last night in Philadelphia, there was a group of youth that ransacked the Apple store, the Lululemon store, Foot Locker, and the police actually did make some arrests. Out in Oakland, hundreds of businesses are going on strike because of high crime. And then in Chicago, we have seen a couple of, well, grocery stores that are shutting in these crime-ridden neighborhoods, taking away the options for people to be able to shop, to buy food. And so they're now calling them food deserts. And we've seen radical activist Democrats talking about food deserts for a while. Well, they're creating it because of this crime. And now the mayor of Chicago, who's never run a business, says that the city's going to run grocery stores. That's not going to work out very well. So just stay tuned on that. But again, one of the things that we do expect is to have safe communities and also to have government that protects our borders. And that is not happening down at the southern border. And that needs to change as well. So anyway, government is many times focusing on what they're not supposed to do and not doing what the limited things that they are supposed to do, like safe communities. But another thing that I'm concerned about is government-induced inflation. And then when we have government-induced inflation, the Federal Reserve is actually increasing interest rates significantly, and it brings challenges to a lot of different things happening out there. An expert in mortgages, all things mortgages, is Lauren Levy. Lauren Levy, welcome to the show.
Hi, good morning, Kim.
Great. It's great to have you. And first, I wanted to let people know this is relatively new, but you can now work with people in 49 of the 50 states, correct?
That is correct. Everywhere but New York.
And why not you, New York? That's so interesting.
You know, every state has different rules and different, you know, primarily the rules of certain states are that you have to have brick and mortar, meaning you have to have a physical office there. And so the company that I'm working with, I'm just assuming, doesn't have an office there.
Okay.
You know, Florida is a similar way. You have to have an office. In Arizona, you have to have an office. You can't just be remote. And some states, like Colorado, you can be remote and live in another state and still get a Colorado license to lend, but not all states. So some are just more difficult than others.
Well, and New York, I don't know a lot of people that are moving to New York, so that's not a problem. But if people are moving
this way.
They're coming in. If any of the other states, if you need a mortgage, Lauren Levy can help you with that. And you do work with a lot of different lenders, which I think is great because there's creativity and innovation in the mortgage arena to try to help people if they want to get into a home. And so what are you seeing? I've seen rumblings of maybe another interest rate increase. What are you hearing?
Well, there's already been a little interest rate increase in the mortgage market since last Wednesday, because last week Karen and I were in before the Federal Reserve met, and they announced on Wednesday that they weren't going to raise this month, but they were people were expecting them to maybe raise once more and then have, I think, four cuts next year. They were counting on four interest rate reductions, and the Fed came out and basically said they're not going to raise this month, maybe once more, maybe even a second time, but that they're going to stay higher for longer. Meaning not four cuts next year, at the most two in the second half of the year. So that caused another little shock of unexpected news. And so we see the 10-year Treasury, which we've talked about how is loosely tied to mortgage rates, cross almost to the 4.50 range. And that is causing mortgage rates to go creep even higher into the middle sevens without a raise. And so now we'll see. They don't do anything. We're in September. They won't have anything till November now. So they might raise in November, but we're not sure. The belief is that they might based on the data. But for now, just them saying they won't lower sooner is causing a slight raise.
You know, I get very frustrated with them. It's almost like it's almost like they think they're God on this. And in doing this, I mean, this hurts families. And again, this is government-induced inflation. It is because of government policy that is increasing the inflation. So I just get frustrated sometimes when we're talking about this, Lauren.
I can hear you. I know you do when we talk. It's tough because they announce sort of the numbers that they're looking at in the data. And then the data starts to trend in the right way, and that's when people think, okay, the economy is slowing, not in a recession. They call it a soft landing people are hoping for. And, you know, the economy is slowing, and then we'll see things like the employment data for last month showed an increase of, I don't know, 200-something thousand jobs when they were expecting it to be lower. And so you and I have talked a lot about how they have their eye on employment to see if the economy is still growing. Because when wages are growing and jobs are growing, that means people have money to spend, which is not a slowing economy. And that's what they're charged with. They're charged with reducing inflation. No matter who created it, they have to reduce it. And so that's the numbers they're looking at, unfortunately. They're not looking at gas prices, which are back where they almost at their high. And the grocery store has calmed down a little bit, but not enough. But they're looking at employment primarily, unfortunately.
And this is people's lives and their jobs. And so anyway, it's important to keep an eye on this. But as people are getting squeezed, and I was thinking about reverse mortgages, and mm-hmm. you'd mentioned that there can be some creative things, even here in Colorado, as property values have maintained. We've probably seen a little bit of softening on that. But because property values have gone up, people that are 62 and older, it might help with, you know, just getting squeezed. But there's also really, I think, some planning. It can be a planning tool, which I find super interesting as well. So do you help people as they're kind of thinking about that as well as a potential planning tool or financial planning tool? How does that work, Lauren?
Absolutely. We try to talk to other financial advisors that are out there just to let them know about the opportunities through a reverse mortgage. But when we talk to clients that have interest in reverse mortgages, if they're aware of those situations, we will definitely talk to them about it. Typically, it comes from the financial advisor because they're the ones that are aware of the life insurance options and estate planning, things like that. When we're talking directly to clients, a lot of times it's people that are looking to retire and looking to make their life easier, either because of this inflation or they just want to stop working and enjoy the rest of their lives. Those are the people that we help typically pay off their mortgage if they have one and then get rid of that payment and then hopefully get them some other type of income, whether it just be a line of credit that they can use later to offset expenses or get them a monthly income that'll help offset some of this inflation that'll keep them going through retirement. So okay. Reverse mortgages have been great for several people.
Okay. And what's the best way for people to reach you, Lauren Levy?
The best way is to either call 303-880-8881, or now they can just go to my website as well, which is www.LorneLevy.com. Either one works, and we're here to help.
Absolutely. That's Lauren Levy, 303-880-8881. Website is Lauren, LorneLevy.com. So, Lauren, great. We'll talk to you again and get an update next week. Greatly appreciate it.
You got it. Thank you, Kim.
And we get to do the show because of people like Lauren Levy, great sponsors, and also Roger Mangan. He has a great State Farm agency, and he's been in business for 47 years, serving his customers, providing for his family, and giving back to the communities of Greenwood Village and Castle Rock, Centennial, Littleton, Highlands Ranch, and Englewood. For more help with all of your insurance needs, reach out to Roger Mangan at 303-795-8855. Like a good neighbor, the Roger Mangan Insurance Team is there.
Most of us have been there. That surprise crunch when you backed into a car in a parking lot or someone rear-ended you at a stoplight. First thing you do is stop and breathe. Second, say a prayer of gratitude that no one was hurt. Third, look for your insurance card. And fourth, be grateful that you have your insurance with Roger Mangan State Farm Insurance Agency. You can breathe easier knowing that you can reach the Roger Mangan team 24/7 when you need them. For that Roger Mangan State Farm Insurance peace of mind, call Roger Mangan today at 303-795-8855. That's 303-795-8855.
Award-winning realtor Karen Levine has nearly 30 years of experience with RE/MAX Alliance. Karen Levine works to protect your property rights at the local, county, state, and national level. Karen Levine believes in home ownership. Working with realtor Karen Levine helps you navigate through the process of buying or selling your home. Call Karen Levine to help you buy or sell your home because she understands that it's more than just a house. Call award-winning realtor Karen Levine with RE/MAX Alliance today at 303-877-7516. That's 303-877-7516.
You'd like to get in touch with one of the sponsors of The Kim Monson Show, but you can't remember their phone contact or website information. Find a full list of advertising partners on Kim's website, kimmonson.com. That's Kim, MONSON.com.
Welcome back to the Kim Monson Show. Be sure and check out our website. That is Kim Monson, MONSON.com. Sign up for our weekly email newsletter. And you can email me at kim@kimmonson.com as well. Thank you to all of you who support us. We're an independent voice, and we search for truth and clarity by looking at these issues through the lens of freedom versus force, force versus freedom. If something's a good idea, you should not have to force people to do it. And so I want to say thank you to the Harris family for their gold sponsorship of the show. They've been sponsors of the show for a number of years, and I greatly appreciate them. And then also the Center for American Values, which is located on the beautiful Riverwalk in Pueblo, Colorado, should be on your bucket list as a place to visit and see their Portraits of Valor, which is these portraits of over 160 of our Medal of Honor recipients with these quotes by each of them. And they then have put these quotes together in a book that actually will fit in, you know, a side pocket on pants. So for our military, they can have that with them. But it is a great gift for Christmas. I would highly recommend that. You can get more information about the Center for American Values by going to AmericanValueCenter.org. That is AmericanValueCenter.org. It is Wednesday, so it is a Trent Luce Wednesday. Trent Luce is a sixth-generation farmer and rancher, lives in Nebraska. He's traveled extensively, both in the United States and outside the United States, to talk about these issues of rural America. And rural America feeds us, provides energy for us, reliable, efficient, affordable, and abundant energy. All these things are under attack because of public policy. Trent Luce, welcome to the show.
Hi, Kim. These weeks sure go fast.
Well, they do. And first of all, I think you might be excited about this. I did a little trip to Kansas last week, and someone asked me, they said, Kim, have you heard about this 30 by 30? One of my friends is going to have a meeting on that. And I said, absolutely, I've heard about this. So I thought you'd be pleased to know that that is starting to get on people's radars, although it's a little late, but at least that's starting to occur. What's your thoughts on the latest on 30 by 30?
Well, 30 by 30 actually was a proclamation signed January 27, 2021, Executive Order 14008, if anybody would like to go read the 57-page executive order. But it's been in play every day since. A lot of people, Kim, they talk about, well, what do we need to do to get ready for 30 by 30? Well, 30 by 30 has been happening. It's happening before the executive order was actually signed. And it's where we lose our ability to take care of our land as we see fit. It's an invasion, erosion of our property rights. And I'm glad that now people are asking more questions about it. It's what you and I actually talk about every single week when we gather and we talk about a domestic supply of food and fuel. It leaves every time we as landowners lose our ability to take care of our own land as we see fit.
Well, and it's really been occurring for a long time. Now, early 1980s, the 2020 agenda or whatever that was, but that started to put in place the World Economic Forum's control, I think, over what's happening on our globe. So I remember the CRP program for farmers. When did that come into play? And explain that to people.
The CRP actually stands for Conservation Reserve Program. It was the original intent was to put marginal land into fallow, so just to let it grow. And you're spot on, because the language of 30 by 30 was to return 30% of the land and water to its natural state. And so the CRP program was somewhat intended to do that same kind of issue, is remove land from food production. Now, what they use as the logic behind doing this is that they say, well, this land was marginal and probably should have never been farmed to begin with. Well, that's for the person who owns the land to decide, and I, as a landowner, as sixth generation, the only way we have a seventh generation is if we leave things better than what we found them. And really, at the end of the day, this was taking land out of food production, and farmers, landowners, I should say, maybe not the farmer, but the landowner, is paid a per-acre fee every year to do nothing with it, to let it just grow wild.
Wow. And when did this CRP program start? Do you remember?
I'm thinking it started in the 70s, I'm sure.
Okay. That's what I was thinking as well. Okay. So, again, go ahead.
Actually, they tried to tie it to the Dust Bowl of the 30s, and that was the whole concept, is that we need to do this so that we don't relive the Dust Bowl. Well, we have not relived the Dust Bowl since that period of time, because farmers take care of the land and improve soil health. Are we doing everything we possibly can? Probably not. We continue to seek improvements. And case in point, I think most people realize how devastating the Dust Bowl was from 1930 to 1937. But there was actually less measurable precipitation from 2000 to 2007 than there was from 30 to 37. And not only did we not have environmental devastation, we produced more food each and every year with the less rainfall than we had during the dirty 30s. And that comes back to the ownership of the land and how we can continue to maintain soil health and integrity. 1985, I was talking long enough to pull up the exact day that this went into play.
Yeah, I just looked that up as well. And so all of these things, I don't know if they're working in concert, but now that we have gotten to this point of this 30 by 30 and this executive order, but this has been happening for quite some time. And the idea that to pay farmers not to produce food, when the American farmer had been moving towards eradicating world hunger, and now these new policies will be moving towards people being hungry, and that makes me think of a headline that I just mentioned, and that is Chicago, that because of crime in Chicago, Whole Foods, Walmart has moved out of some of these neighborhoods because of crime, which has then created, and I've seen this this term, food deserts. And this is something that the radical activists have said they've been concerned about, but because of crime and their policies, they're creating food deserts. And now the mayor of Chicago says that they're going to, that Chicago, the government's going to have grocery stores. The guy's never run a business before in his life. And I think people are going to go hungry because of it. So what's your thoughts?
No doubt about it. And I just want to remind people that you said that it started long before Biden. Well, and it did. And in fact, I've written a piece that's in the High Plains Journal that I think everybody should read if you're into this kind of a thing, because there was a guy named Maurice Strong that in 1971 started laying the groundwork for the Rio de Janeiro 2030 summit, which, it was 2020 at the time. Agenda 21 is what it was called. And that all came out of the United Nations, and Maurice Strong was working at the United Nations. But at the same time, in 1971, you had the EPA created. You also had the Fish and Wildlife Act, the Endangered Species Act. And both of those in combination is where the erosion of our property rights and the reduction in the ability to produce food started to take place. But with all of that said, Kim, and those policies right in the middle, you said something that I wanted to put some numbers to because it's very relevant. In 1920, the global population was 2 billion. 80% of the 2 billion were considered food insecure in 1920. In 2022, the global population is approaching 8 billion. Of the 8 billion, 20% are considered food insecure. So at that point in time, when everybody tells us that the population is outpacing the ability to feed itself, the only limitation we have in the resources providing the essentials of life for human beings is the policies and what you're describing here, the regulation and the inability to utilize our property and setting aside land to get paid not to farm. That's where the challenge comes in feeding people. If they just get out of the way, like Norman Borlaug said, there is no doubt with the technology and the ability and the knowledge the farmer has, he can feed a growing population of in excess of 10 billion. The question is, will he be allowed to utilize the technology? And that's where we're at.
That is exactly where we are at. I'm talking with Trent Luce. He's a sixth-generation farmer and rancher. And this all also, he mentioned the EPA, the Endangered Species Act. Of course, we're seeing climate as being weaponized. That narrative is being weaponized towards trying to take more and more control. And that's why we need to have an honest conversation about the climate. And that's why what is happening tomorrow night at Rockley's Event Center at 8555 West Colfax is the Colorado screening of a climate conversation. I have the great honor of narrating the film. And the scientists in the film are flying in from all over North America. So we're going to screen the film, have a panel discussion, and there's going to be food and drink. It's all very affordable, $20 for an individual, $30 for a couple, and we are almost sold out, but would love to have you join us. You'll connect with people that you know, meet some new friends, and you can go to my website. That is kimmunson.com, and the links are there for you to buy tickets, but it's a very, very important discussion. I'm very excited about that, and we have these discussions as talking about climate, your own personal climate, and again, we're seeing through regulations trying to make it more expensive for people to heat their homes, cool their homes, but that's why you need an expert in that arena, such as Johnny Stubbs Heating and Air Conditioning Services.
Johnny Stubbs Services uses only the best quality products to ensure that your heating and cooling systems run efficiently and last for years. Johnny Stubbs Services' team of experts is available to provide the proper guidance and help you make informed decisions about your heating and cooling needs. Johnny Stubbs Services prides themselves on delivering prompt and reliable service and stands behind their work with a satisfaction guarantee. JohnnyStubbsServices.com, the trusted contractor for all your heating and air conditioning needs. That's JohnnyStubbsServices.com.
If you are 62 or older, a reverse mortgage could be a great tool regarding retirement and estate planning. It is essential to understand the process. Lauren Levy with Polygon Financial Group has nearly 20 years in the mortgage industry and has the experience to answer your questions. Lauren understands that each financial transaction is personal. If you'd like to explore your options on a reverse mortgage, remodel your home, buy a rental property, or move, call Lauren Levy at 303-880-8881. Licensed in 49 states, Kim Monson highly recommends Lauren Levy for all your mortgage needs. Call Lauren at 303-880-8881.
Our future depends on educated, informed, and active citizens. You could do your part by reading Dr. James Lyons Weiler's latest articles at Popular Rationalism on Substack. That's popularrationalism.substack.com.
All of Kim's sponsors are an inclusive partnership with Kim and are not affiliated with or in partnership with KLZ or Crawford Broadcasting. If you would like to support the work of the Kim Munson Show and grow your business, contact Kim at her website, kimmunson.com. That's Kim Munson, M-O-N-S-O-N.com.
Welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. Check out our website. That's Kim Munson, M-O-N-S-O-N.com. Sign up for our weekly email newsletter. You can email me at kim@kimmunson.com as well. Thank you to all of you who support us. We're an independent voice. We search for truth and clarity by looking at these issues through the lens of freedom versus force, force versus freedom. If something's a good idea, you should not have to force people to do it. Text line is 720-605-0647. That's 720-605-0647. Last segment of the show, you can call in. Trent's going to stay on the line. That's 303-477-5600, 303-477-5600. Jansen Photography, which is located out in Lakewood, Colorado, a beautiful property. Glenn and Mary Jansen are true entrepreneurs. Glenn will have his camera at a climate conversation tomorrow night, but they specialize in portraits of families. I don't know how he gets everybody to look at the camera at the same time, but he does. Portraits of children, senior portraits, and then I highly recommend that each of you have that professional photo for your business or political career, and Jansen Photography can help with that. That website is Jansen Photography. That's J-A-N-S-S-E-N photography.com. And again, I just really, really appreciate Glenn and Mary Jansen and all that they do. Okay, Trent Luce, I have so many different things I wanted to ask you, but this came in on the text line, and it says, Kim, can you imagine government-run grocery stores and what controls they would have on those? Sort of like you have to have the COVID shot, or you don't get to work, or you don't get to shop. So if you don't comply, you don't get food. How scary is that? I know that it used to be we'd be called tin hats when we would say something like this, but I see that as a very scary thing for the people in these crime-ridden neighborhoods in Chicago. Trent, what do you think?
I think you'll have to ride their bike because you couldn't emit fossil fuels emissions driving to the grocery store to get food from the government-owned grocery store.
And you're going to have to take several trips on your bike because you could not probably bring
Correct.
Everything home on your bicycle.
That's absolutely correct. It's insane. In fact, almost along these lines, Kim, I saw an editorial where they're really getting desperate on preventing the government shutdown. And I'll repeat, I think I said it last week, I think the government should shut down until January 2031. I'm good with that. But now they're talking about these national parks are going to suffer if there's a shutdown. Even 3 days would make an impact into the financial ruin of our national parks, and the desert Joshua trees could maybe not recover from a three-day shutdown. Are you freaking kidding me? They worship this earth instead of understanding that we're just a little bitty old pawn in the middle of this big scheme that God created. Therein lies the real problem.
Okay, so that brings up, and again, I had two things we were going to talk about, and we've not gotten there, but that is forest management. When I drove up to Grand Lake, love Grand Lake, but was driving through some of the national forest, and we, because of environmentalists, have not been managing our forests. And there's all kinds of dead trees, brush. It doesn't take a rocket scientist to figure out that a lightning strike or a careless human being, that we're going to have forest fires. They're going to be more intense. They're going to be harder to control. One of the things that I've learned is, for example, in the Northwest, with the enviros shutting down the logging industry in the Northwest, there used to be logging roads into the forests. And again, it was responsible management of the forest, whereas if there was a forest fire, there were these roads that, you know, they could get into now to fight those forest fires. Well, those are overgrown now. And so we have this terrible management of our forests. And one of our guests, I can't remember who it was now, said that actually the Indians would do managed forest fire burns in the springtime when you were having the winter runoff and there was still a lot of moisture, so that it would reduce the intensity of forest fires. So even the Native Americans were doing forest management. And we're not doing that now. So my point is the government shutdown, they've not been doing their job, I think, regarding forest management for quite some time.
The Indians also figured out that that was weather modification, because the smoke itself would not only clean up what would be an intense, dangerous fire later, the smoke would get in the clouds and form water droplets would form around the smoke particles, and it would rain immediately after that. In many ways, they were living in touch with nature instead of against it. And that's exactly what this federal government and state governments want us to do, is live against nature instead of with it.
Right. But they worship nature. Or they worship.
That's the problem.
And I'm going to change that. They do not worship nature. They worship environmentalism, is what it is. So that's, we're going to get to, actually, several people had mentioned this piece that was in the Denver Post on September 24th. And you had sent the headline to me as well. Proposal would limit oil and gas leasing to 382,000 acres. And this is federal land managers have proposed blocking future oil and gas development on more than 1 million acres of Colorado's western slope as they reshape how they handle energy development in the face of a drying and warming West. The BLM's draft management plan for a swath of land between the Utah border and Eagle would close 1.6 million acres to potential oil and gas leasing. If approved, the plan would forestall the drilling of hundreds of future wells. Now, again, one of the foundational things that we have for human flourishing in the United States is reliable, efficient, affordable, and abundant energy. And here you see the Biden BLM administration wants to shut that down. I mean, they're kneecapping our oil and gas industry out here in Colorado, Trent.
Actually, it's not just Colorado. If you remember, Arizona had an announcement 6 weeks ago that they were going to shut down 1 million acres of oil recovery. New Mexico made a similar announcement. I don't think it was quite 1 million acres. Last week, it was 700,000. On 9/11, instead of Joe Biden staying in Washington, D.C. or New York and paying tribute to the lives lost on 9/11, he went to Alaska and made an announcement they were going to shut down 13 million acres of oil recovery in Alaska. This is part of the quest to, and by the way, we're talking about Executive Order 14008, which we affectionately call 30 by 30, only two paragraphs in that particular executive order, which is 57 pages long, deal with land utilization. 56 pages are dedicated to how we are going to end the use of fossil fuels as an energy supply. And it is playing out right in front of us. And we need to all rally, because this is something that we can't just sit back and say, oh, well, that's the way he's going to do it. It's a green policy. Green policies are nothing to do with an energy supply. It's everything to do with restructuring society. And we have made so many advancements in improving human life and the planet health by utilizing this renewable resource called fossil fuels, because we now know Earth replenishes itself with this oil. And it's a lie. We are living this lie that we, the people, must stand up and say no more.
Okay. So I agree. Okay. This just came in from one of our listeners. She said, I think the lack of forest management started in the 30s, and that is how long our forests have been out of control. She says they don't worship environmentalism. They worship themselves. And this is just an avenue to get rid of humans. So what's your comments on that, Trent?
Well, I'm not far off of that. I'm trying to think what it could have been in the 30s that led to that. And I'm not arguing at all, because I think it has been in play much longer than any of us recognize. But a dear friend of mine, Bruce Vincent, who's been doing what I've been doing for 23 years now, for 30 years in the logging industry from Libby, Montana, he made a statement in front of an audience one time. He said, when we were told to don't use paper to save a tree is when we started destroying the health of the forest. Because it's utilizing that resource, utilizing that paper, that creates a healthy forest. And we were given that message that if you're using paper, you're somehow contributing to the demise of the forest, when in fact, we need to harvest trees. We need to maintain a healthy forest. We need to keep that canopy clean, because when these intense fires come and there's a tremendous amount of fuel, you look at Yellowstone right now. I drive through Yellowstone, and I see so much fuel on the ground. It's no wonder we have the intense fires that we have. The federal government's worried about what's going to happen in the national parks if we have the shutdown of the government. I'm worried about what's happening to it with them. They're protecting these massive Mother Nature catastrophes.
But then they use these catastrophes then to blame it on climate. I had Patrick Moore on recently, who he considers himself the the sensible environmentalist now. Co-founder. But he said we were talking about Hawaii. But anyway, he said the climate does not start fires. And I thought that was really an important statement when he said that the climate does not start fires. It might be a lightning strike. It might be humans, a variety of things.
Interestingly, Patrick Moore started a fire when Walter Cronkite was broadcasting. And I'm sure he walked you through the beginning of Greenpeace. But, I mean, the guy has lived it. He knows how to create fires. And I'm not talking about fire that burns forests. I'm talking about fire that eliminates critical thinking for people, and we become a bunch of followers and sheep.
Yeah. Well, and his journey was when he realized, he said that there were those in Greenpeace that were actually anti-human. That's where he really, really changed, his thinking regarding that particular movement, because he realized it wasn't about the environment. It became anti-human. And that's what we're seeing in so many of these policies. For example, closing down all of this acreage to oil and gas development when, again, reliable, efficient, affordable, and abundant energy is foundational to human flourishing here in the United States and being responsible for our environment. Okay, other questions I have for Trent Luce, and you can call in 303-477-5600, 303-477-5600. And also just, again, remembering our history is so important. And one of the ways that you can remember your history, our history, is by helping the USMC Memorial Foundation with their remodel of the Marine Memorial out at 6th and Colfax. And they will have a place for all of these stories of our veterans. patrons, these people that have given their lives or been willing to give their lives for our freedom. And so you can help them by going to usmcmemorialfoundation.org, contribute. You can buy a brick for one of the walkways to honor your military service or your loved one's military service. And again, these are beautiful gifts for birthdays or for Christmas that's right around the corner. So again, more information at usmcmemorialfoundation.org. Another sponsor of the show is Boson Law.
Boson Law fights for clients who've been injured or family members who have lost a loved one due to the careless, reckless, or wrongful conduct of others. Whether injured in a car accident, suffered an injury due to a product or bad pharmaceutical drug, or need help fighting for medical care and benefits following an accident at work, don't go it alone and uninformed. Boson Law is the law firm you need in your corner. Time is of the essence with any personal injury claim. Call 303-999-9999 to schedule your complimentary consultation. That number again is 303-999-9999. Call now.
Focused and wise marketing is essential for your success, especially during tough economic times. If you love the Kim Munson Show, strive for excellence and understand the importance of engaging in the battle of ideas that is raging in America. Then talk with Kim about partnership, sponsorship opportunities. Email Kim at kimmunson.com. Kim focuses on creating relationships with individuals and businesses that are tops in their fields, so they are the trusted experts listeners turn to when looking for products or services. Kim personally endorses each of her sponsors. Again, reach out to Kim at kimmunson.com.
Franktown Firearms and Shooting Range keep their firearm and ammunition inventory up, so you can get the lowest price at the best tax rate. Across the nation, inventory is down and sales are at record levels, leading consumers to pay higher prices at other businesses. Franktown brings in new items every week, which translates to lower pricing on your purchase. There are millions of first-time gun owners purchasing each year, showing that the demand is growing and prices are rising to meet that demand. Whether you're looking for a self-defense carry, hunting game, or using your firearms and ammunition for pest control, the folks at Franktown are fully stocked and ready to get you the right firearm at the right price. And this family-owned, family-operated gun store and range is proud to have the lowest tax rate possible, saving you even more. Find out more about Franktown Firearms at klzradio.com/Franktown today and fill out the form to get half off your initiation fee on membership. Franktown Firearms, where friends are made.
Welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. Be sure and check out our website. That is Kim Munson, M-O-N-S-O-N.com. Sign up for our weekly email newsletter. You can email me at kim@kimmunson.com as well. Thank you to all of you who support us. We're an independent voice. We search for truth and clarity by looking at these issues through the lens of freedom versus force, force versus freedom. If something's a good idea, you should not have to force people to do it. And also wanted to mention IPAC-EDU. This is the Institute for Pure and Applied Knowledge. EDU. This is Dr. James Lyons Weiler's educational courses, matching up the intellectually curious with amazing instructors. I am taking the class that is being taught by Brad Miller on literature as resistance. And it's a 19-week course for $180-some. You put in Munson when you're registering, and you will get a discount on even that. So anyway, check out ipac-edu.org. Trent Luce is on the line with me, sixth-generation farmer and rancher. The text line is very busy, 720-605-0647. We have Gammy on the line, and then former state senator Kevin Lundberg on the line. So, Gammy, what's on your radar?
Woo-hoo! Hey, Trent. I couldn't help it. I can't help myself. I get excited when Trent gets on because he's so full of stuff, you know. And I want to tell you, Kim, between you and Trent and a couple of my friends, I'm exhausted between the training because I see the writing on the wall that you all paint. And I'm thinking, what we have here, quote, remember that movie, is a failure to communicate? Remember old Cool Hand Luke? Well, we got worse than that, because everything you all say puts me into a, I got to do this, I got to do that. You're exhausting this old lady. between the training, which I almost puked. I worked so hard the last 2 weekends. But I'm telling you, we are going to have to step it up as local communities on levels we've never, ever dreamed of, because everything Trent said about the land and the grab and, you know, what it comes down to is this. The government overreach, the executive orders are all, every freaking one of them, unconstitutional and illegal, and we're not stopping them. We're letting them run all over us. Remember you had that whole show on urban growth, communist, Marxist tactics, and they're doing that to our very cities. They're doing it with taxation without representation, let's face it. They're doing it on every level of our humanity. And I think, as sad as this makes me, it's time for the audiences, all of them, to realize this is not some little beauty show contest. This is the real drill, and we're not stepping up hard enough to the plate to stop them. And it's going to take tens of millions of us to say, no more, you're out. Kick their butts out. Why am I taking Krav Maga? So I can kick some butt out of offices where they don't belong. I've
okay.
had it.
Okay, Gammy. And she is right. And we need to make sure that we have free, fair, honest, and transparent elections. And that's a whole nother discussion. Gammy, thank you so much for that.
All right.
And
I want to tell you one more thing. You said the consultant Republican class of people who go for jobs to bring in, you know, candidates and all this, and they're fighting against a closed primary. I'm afraid I handed somebody's butt to them yesterday on the Rush substitute guy, because he had Eli Bremer on, who was against the closed primary. And I failed you, because I went back to last year's assessment that he was worthless as bits on a bull, because he was for an open primary. And this man is was in power. We honored him when he was in power. Now he's insulting the current people. These okay. people are destroying our own GOP from within, because they want relevance. They want power. They need to be on top, and they're not doing what is needed. The public will honor you for standing up as a true conservative with true beliefs, whether you have closed primary. So
okay. Gammy, thank you. Thank you. Thank you. And yes, this is a big vote that is coming up this weekend by the State Central Committee of the Colorado GOP on whether or not to vote to have a closed primary for the next 2 years. So, Gammy, thank you so much. Former State Senator Kevin Lundberg, what's on your radar?
Well, Kim, I appreciate your giving me a moment or two here. I just jumped in kind of in the middle of your conversation on the environmental, extremists that are out there that are demanding we shut down the oil and gas industry and stop fixing our forests, et cetera. Wanted to add one element, because the big specter they always put out there in Colorado is we are facing tremendous droughts where everything will be shut down. And the facts don't point that out. As a matter of fact, the Colorado State Climatologist gave a report back in 2015 that said the average precipitation in Colorado for the previous 30 years, that's from 85 to 15, had not changed at all. And since then, we haven't had a drought. Localized areas have some dry spots, but all of their predictions are just flat out wrong. And we need to realize that they aren't working with facts. They're just working with fables that they've dreamed up through their contrived computer models.
Well, and I think that is so important. And then the headlines every day are trying to scare people with a record temperature, right, this or that. And then that plays into more and more control on that. Any other comments, Senator Lundberg?
I'll just tell you that I'm looking forward to the premiere of a climate conversation tomorrow night, and I hope everybody in the nation eventually gets to see this important documentary that will really clear up a lot of the misinformation that is out there by the environmental extremists who really want to shut down our culture. You know, you're really spot on what you're saying. So keep up the good work, and we'll see you tomorrow night.
Yes, former State Senator Kevin Lundberg, and you can find him at the kevinlundberg.com, I think it is, and the Lundberg Report. He issues that every weekend, and that is so important. So, Kevin, thank you so much. And again, yes, we're so excited about the Colorado screening of a climate conversation. And then we do have the definite date when it will be on Newsmax, and that will be, I think it's on Sunday, I think it's the 14th of October at 7 p.m. Mountain Time. So jazzed about that. And then we really are excited about how this is going to go national. Trent Luce, we have a couple of minutes left. Gammy had a lot to say. Kevin Lundberg, how would you like to wrap this up?
If we had three more Gammys in the world, we would have no problems at all. I mean, that's just one fireball right there that's a patriot and going to make a difference. And the Kevin, I mean, spot on. This is every single news blurb today includes the term climate crisis. There is no climate crisis. It's a climate crisis in our mind. We've been told that there's something wrong. All you need to do is go out and see how clean the air is, how clean the water is, cleaner than it's ever been. Allow farmers to take care of the land, go to the grocery store, the food will be there. But we need to engage in the process. If we continue to sit back and allow these tyrannical leaders to run roughshod over our basic rights granted by God, protected by the Constitution, we're not going to be happy.
Well, and Trent Luce, one other thing. Any candidate that reaches out to me, we have a lot of school board races right in this November election, as well as city council and mayor races. These are so, so important. But I am so encouraged. Everyday people are stepping forward to run for office. And when they say to me, I didn't really want to run for office, that means they are the people that will be representing the people because they feel called on their heart to serve. And we need to remember that these are elected representatives. They are not elected officials. And again, this is a language thing. If they think they're officials officiating over our lives, that's not good. If we think call them officials, then they think that they can officiate over our lives. They are elected representatives. And so, Trent Luce, they need to remember that.
They do. And it's we, the people. But it's not about us sitting back. It's about making sure everybody remembers.
Okay, I got dropped off here for just a moment, so I think I'm back. Trent Luce, thank you so much. And our quote Thanks, for the end man. Of the show is, and you can't have a prosperous economy when the government is way overspending, raising tax rates, printing too much money, overregulating and restricting free trade. It just can't be done. And that's Arthur Laffer. And so, my friends, today be grateful, read great books, think good thoughts, listen to beautiful music, communicate and listen well, live honestly and authentically, strive for high ideals, and like Superman, stand for truth, justice, and the American way. My friends, you are not alone. God bless you, and God bless America.
Young, like a new moon rising, fierce through the rain and lightning, wandering out into this great unknown. And I don't want no one to cry, but tell them if I don't survive.
The views and opinions expressed on KLZ 560 are those of the speaker, commentators, hosts, their guests, and callers. They are not necessarily the views and opinions of Crawford Broadcasting or KLZ Management, employees, associates, or advertisers. KLZ 560 is a Crawford Broadcasting God and Country station.